He threw one high. He won that game off a wild pitch.
7-0 in the third, and there I go.
Trap to me, and I was like, oh boy. Coming out of high school, man, a lot of dudes don't understand like how tough it really is.
I'll take my odds at any day of the week.
Say that again.
I'll take my odds any day of the week.
Talk your shit, bro.
And you ain't see your boy?
I saw it. That's the first thing I did when I walked in, I saw that.
Well, take your glasses off, bro. Buck ain't had glasses on.
Y'all the originals. Y'all can both have glasses.
You wear your glasses for it because of your birthday.
But it's season two.
But my birthday is tomorrow. So I get to wear my glasses. And I can't wear it during the Candace episode because, you know, it's Candace.
You know what? I'll let you have it. It is your birthday.
I'll let you rock that.
Yeah.
And with that, we back with the 2% podcast. You thought we weren't rolling. All right. So here we go. We got two special people today. You know, I'm going to introduce our guest host first. A classmate of ours. You know, he started off as a basketball manager at Vanderbilt and then became an actual player on the team his senior season. My man John Coretta right here. What's up, Johnny J?
Hey, I'm happy to be here, man.
Man, give us a little bit about what you're doing right now. Just like 1 minute.
Yeah, so right now I work out in Detroit with the Detroit Pistons, mainly with their minor league team, G League team, the Motor City Crews. So I'm a player development coach out there, assistant coach. And it was a lot of fun. Last year was my first year with that. This is my third year with the Pistons. I was an intern that started off in the front office, basketball ops, moved down to the video room. Now I'm a coach, so it's been a quick ride, but a fun ride too. They've allowed me to grow a little bit, so I've definitely been blessed out there, so it's been fun.
Yeah, so you guys see, we're gonna switch up a little bit this season. You know, Ro has got a coaching job with the Vanderbilt Commodores, you know, so he's on staff now.
Roski.
So John's gonna be filling in for our basketball portion. And with that, I guess for this for this evening, we got a first round draft pick, 2020, to the Boston Celtics.
Yes, sir.
14th overall. Okay.
Damn.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
Okay, that's crazy.
That's
we got
wild.
Aaron Neesmith, man. What's up, dog?
Yes, sir.
What's up, y'all, man? Appreciate y'all. Ooh, my fault. Appreciate you guys having me, bro. It's good to be here. You know, I've seen some of y'all stuff before. So when John texted me and presented me with an opportunity to come on y'all's podcast, you know, I was all for it.
Bet, man.
Appreciate that.
We're going to get right into it, man. So first, man, why Vanderbilt? Out of all the schools you could have gone to, why Vanderbilt? Because, you know, it's not too many. You know, it's not known as like a powerhouse of basketball.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
So why?
I get this question a lot. So it's really like it was the best of both worlds, and I'm sure y'all felt the same way, you know, when you came to play here, having your choice and options of where to go. I could have went, you know, somewhere that was more basketball oriented and not on the academic side, but my brother went to Harvard. So my family's always been like education pressed. So in order to keep up with him, I wanted to keep education on the forefront. So I looked at some Ivy Leagues like Harvard, Yale were on my final list. And then Vanderbilt came along and it was the SEC. I had SEC schools already, but it wasn't academics. They weren't where I wanted them to be. So when Vandy came, it was kind of just, you know, best of both worlds.
Yeah. Did any, was there any influence on like that class that you was in? Cause that was probably the most highly rated class.
The most highly rated class
to come to Vanderbilt ever.
Yeah. We were. We were the highest ranking class to come to Vandy in like 80 years. So when I was the first to commit too. So I committed somewhere early, like right after our final AAU season. And then I think Darius committed right after I did, Darius Garland. And then when he committed, I was like, ooh.
It's different.
Yeah, I said, well, we might do something.
Do it.
And then Simi committed right after Darius. And that's when I was like, oh, like we got a real chance.
Yeah.
And then on my visit, we had another dude come. I don't know if you know the name, Romeo Langford.
Yeah.
He ended up being my teammate in Boston. So he visited when I came to visit as well. So it could have been all four of us.
Dang. So. And actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you committed, you were the highest. You were,
I was the highest ranked recruit Vandy had ever, or maybe in the past, like past.
I think it was ever, because I don't think we'd had a four star before, and you were the first.
Yeah, it was something up there. But then Darius committed like 3 weeks after me, and
that was short lived.
I had it for a little bit. Yeah. What was that draft process like? You know, actually, before we even get to that,
I was about to say,
before we get to the draft process, man.
What was your journey? I guess because like the 2%, it talks about like your journey to get to college athletics. So for you, what was it like growing up in like amateur basketball? How was that journey for you to get to Vanderbilt and then so far?
Yeah. So I actually wanted to be a football player growing up because my dad played football. Mm-hmm. And I played that as long as I could up until I got to like 7th, 8th grade. And I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. It's like super hot down there. It gets like 100 degrees. So I put them pads on one day. Mm. And man, I had like a heat stroke. I passed out. And I remember I was laying down on the training table and I was looking at the ceiling. I was like, yeah, I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm not playing again. So I started focusing on basketball then. Took it real seriously. I was never like, I'm a big hard work guy because I don't think I've ever been, you know, the most talented guy on any team I've played on. Yeah. I always feel like I can outwork them though, and that's what, you know, I stand on every day.
Got you.
So like I played with McDonald's All American, Josiah James. Mm-hmm. He's a 5-star at Tennessee now. I credit a lot of where I'm at today because of him. He helped push me every single morning. Like when he was in the gym at 6 a.m., I had to be there too. So like. It helped hold me accountable going to a small school where basketball was not, you know, it's not a cultural thing in the South. It's all football.
Not facts.
So, yeah.
Okay. And so I guess what was like, I guess paint a picture kind of like AAU basketball for people. Because, I mean, I know baseball and kind of how that realm works. But, like, how does, like, the AAU basketball world work really?
AAU is basically, you know, you travel across the country, you know, you play games against random teams in random cities, guys from maybe one dude from South Carolina, one dude from Georgia, two dudes from Texas, all coming together on the same team, travel to a city together, and you just go play games in front of coaches and trying to get exposure. I think it's the best way to
describe it. Basketball is like the most, I think, marketed sports, you know, there, especially back in high school when Ball's Life was really popular. And hoop mixtape and like it's like you can get
it's different.
Notice
like you see all those Drake showing up at AAU games, Quavo like those, like how I don't know if you've had any experience like that with like guys pulling up or stuff, but looking at it, it's like dang, that's not bad.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy the exposure hoopers get opposed to other sports.
It's more personal and it can be more exciting.
It's hip-hop, like,
and it's like
culture,
you right there on the court.
I think it has something to do with like we don't wear no pads, gear, no helmet. Mm-hmm. You can see our face all the time. Mm-hmm. So
talking about exposure, South Carolina Player of the Year and Gatorade Player of the Year in high school over Zion Williamson.
Dang.
Hold on, wait. from South Carolina too?
Yeah.
Yeah. But same year as all three, I guess, huh?
Yeah, bro. Ja was a year older.
Than me. Okay, he was a year older, but same year as Zion.
Same year, yeah.
Did you ever play him in high school? Like, how was that?
So we played him every year. I think 3 years. First year we won in my gym. Sophomore year, we had like a Christmas tournament. I remember this was like before you know he blew up and everything.
Yeah,
and like we got there's this kid coming. Supposed to be nice, yada, 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 this, that, and the third. And we played him. And I remember I was like, man, this dude can't be all that. I was watching him warming up in the gym before the game. I was like, this dude ain't all that. And he came down and monkey dunked the shit out of some shit.
Bro, I was like, hold on.
Hey, bro. Come on, dog.
That's a new one. I ain't never heard that
never
before.
Ferocious,
like tore the rim off. Yeah. I was like, damn. But then we ended up winning the game. Played him in a South Carolina camp my junior year. He was like, that's when he really blew up. He was like 13 for 13, cooked us. We didn't even stand a chance. And my team was nice. Like we had like 4 D1 hoopers, through 2 D2 hoopers. So we was not like scrubs.
Yeah.
And he cooked us. And then my senior year, it was supposed to be like a big deal going to play him. Because like we were all like, you know, nationally ranked, all had offers and everything, and he was, you know, Zion Williamson, mm-hmm. and then he hurt his foot and we didn't end up getting to play.
Got you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you get to Vandy freshman year, and it's all this hype around the basketball team. First game, first home game, it's packed. It's packed. I remember vividly. You know, what type of emotions going through your head? Like, what's the feeling leading up to that game? You know, as a freshman. You know, like, talk to me about that experience.
I was definitely nervous. Definitely the biggest crowd I ever played in front of up until that point. And I just knew we were supposed to be really good. Like, the expectations because of pretty much my class, our freshman class, like, we were supposed to turn the program around and win games and make the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just, I wouldn't say it was a lot of pressure, but it was definitely on my mind of like, all right, it's time to get started. And obviously the dream was to make the NBA. And so this was like the stage to do it. So I was like, this is where my career really begins, is like today. So that's really what was going through my mind.
So coming off of a impressive high school campaign and then being in this big class, you weren't really in the rotation early on, like freshman year. How did you like... What was your mindset with watching those guys out there, being behind some of these guys? Because by the end of the year, we were running everything for you. So how did you stay locked in from not getting really a lot of real playing time in the beginning, staying locked in? Like you said, you're a hard worker, staying locked in. And then when the end of the season came, every play is going through you.
Just being a sponge, you know, making the most of every opportunity that you get. And being confident in myself, knowing, no disrespect to anybody, but like knowing that the guys that were playing in front of me were not better than me, and keeping that confidence, no matter even if I'm not playing as much. You know what I mean? Just as long as you have that confidence, whenever your opportunity comes, you're gonna make the most of it. So.
Bet.
Nah, I feel that. Let's go. Give me like your welcome to college moment. You know,
welcome it can to be, college.
Yeah. Actually, not welcome to college. It's not. Let's do welcome to basketball freshman year moment, not just college. You know, whether it's a practice, whether it's a game, like that type of thing.
So it was actually my. I'll say it was on my visit when I came to visit here. I don't think I committed yet, but I was watching a practice, and y'all know Saban Lee jumps out the gym. So we had this big dude. Well, they had the big dude. I didn't play with him. Like strong, like looks like he run through a brick wall.
100% talking about Jerry Baptiste,
100,
my boy.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Shout out my boy.
So yeah, shout out him. So Saban came down on a fast break, and I mean, punished him, put him in the rim.
Ooh.
And I remember I was sitting down on the sideline, and I looked at my dad, and I was like, "Damn, this is called basketball." Like this was like the first 5 minutes into practice, and I was shocked. Okay. So that was definitely like, "All right, this is real."
It's real.
Like there's a jump in the intensity.
Yeah. Is that like the biggest difference between? Cause we'll go to a professional in a little bit, but like. What was like the biggest difference between high school basketball and then college basketball?
Speed, I would say the jump from high school to college and college to NBA is just the speed of the game.
Yeah.
And the thing that makes the great players great is like their ability to slow the game down faster than others.
I mean, because I've heard, you know, I could be wrong, but I just heard people say that in the NBA it's not as fast as college, or it's not as intense as college until it gets to a certain point in the NBA season. Then it starts to, they play more defense, and then they, like, it picks up.
Yeah, so. See, I mean, I disagree with that.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I think it may look more lackadaisical on TV because we just make it look easier.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, this is our craft, this is what we do. Mm. Like, it's not easy to us, but we make it look easy.
Right.
So,
I feel that.
Like the speed is faster, the guys are stronger, we hit harder, like, and we play 100% every day. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't take days off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, every game is not like, now there are games where you go out there, you're like, I'm not feeling it today. Everybody has those days. But as soon as the tip ball is thrown up, right, it's 100% every time.
Showtime.
Yeah.
So I guess now, I guess transitioning now. So college, 14th overall pick now. Now you show up to the first day in the Celtics practice gym. What's that like? Like you said, you saw Vanderbilt like that first practice. What's that first practice like? Now you're a Boston Celtic. You playing next to Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. Like, what? Those are some big name guys. So how is that? How mentally? How is that? Like, okay, like you still do you still have to be like I'm that guy? Like no matter who you're playing against, how was that?
Yeah, that's yeah, it was definitely different. Like, you know, I walked into the building and you see pictures of like Larry Bird and all these all-time greats that's plastered all over the wall. And
that's a historic franchise.
Yeah, it's one of the most historic franchises ever. Like in almost all in all sports pretty much. So it's like just being a part of that franchise was amazing. But walking into the gym that first day and getting to see that logo and my name plate above the locker with the Celtics logo next to it was pretty cool. But it was definitely a humbling experience in our first practice.
No way.
Watching like Jason and Jaylen and how effortless they make the game look.
Okay.
And their approach every day to the craft was definitely a learning curve.
So you talk about being a sponge, you know, your freshman year at Vandy. I'm sure you took the same mindset to your rookie year. What are some things that you observe without them telling you? And then give me some that you, I guess, some game that they've given you as well. So like just watching them like, okay, I can take this from them. Okay.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing.
I mean, off the floor, one person that I learned a lot from just watching, I never even talked to him about it, was Al Horford. Vet of vets. He's been around forever. And when I tell you, he has the same routine every single day. Off day, game day, practice day. He has a routine for all of it. And he comes in the same time every day, does the same thing every day. It is crazy. I was amazed. So I took from him almost immediately. Like, I gotta find my routine. Like, I can take some stuff from him, but that's not gonna help me. You know what I mean? Like, my body's different. I'm wired differently. I think differently. So what is gonna make me better that I could do every single day? So that was the biggest thing I learned probably from anybody over there, was the process of like making sure you have your own routine to get yourself ready to play.
That's huge. Yeah.
I want to take us back to college one more time.
Go ahead.
Because your freshman year, we talked about it, you averaged 11 points, 39 from the field, and 33 from three. Then you took a big jump your sophomore year for 23 points per game on 50% from the field and 52 for three.
Dang.
On Hold seven on. Attempts a game. No joke. Like that ain't easy. That ain't easy. Like what clicked for you?
Honestly, man, I was hungry. I wanted it. At the end of my freshman year, I had a chance to leave. I had some people call me and tell me you should leave and I could be like a 50th, like in the late 50s. And I didn't want that. Like, I didn't want to be a 50, I wanted to be a first round pick. I wasn't going to leave unless I was a first round pick. But when I got those phone calls, that was, the dream was always to play in the NBA, but that's when it really became real. I was like, I can go get it. So I really buckled down that summer and there was nothing that was going to get in my way of making it. Like every single day, I knew I was going to make it. And then one thing that helped me out was like, when Coach Stack got the job, my freshman year, my coach got fired. We were not good. Stat comes in. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I had the draft possibility, and then I had transfer possibility or some schools that, you know, were reaching out to me that didn't reach out to me in high school, you know, some of the big name schools. And I thought about it. Stat gave me one phone call and was basically like, I'm going to have you for 1 year. He was like, we're going to have this year, and I'm gonna get you out of here. Like, so once we had that phone call, I was like, all right,
here.
I'm coming back, and we're gonna go do this thing, and that was pretty much it.
Dang, real quick, like I want to stay on that. What was like Jerry Stackhouse coming in? What was that like? What was the differences you felt like? Like you said, you had that phone call, but what did it feel like for you? And what did it like? Yeah. What did it look like?
Well, he brought the pro mindset to Vandy. Like, okay. I would say it definitely my mindset to the game changed. Like I had a college mindset my freshman year here. And then my sophomore year, I treated the game like a professional from like every day, like from when I ate to my sleeping routine to like how I approach the game on a daily basis. And every practice, every lift session, like we brought professionals in every sector from assistant coach to strength coach. So I really felt like I was in a pro system my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So that helped a lot.
Yeah, because that ain't no small name. That man really he did.
It was crazy when we got the Bleacher Report. People were like, I would remember being in the rec. People were like, "Who's Jerry Stackhouse?" I was like, "Are y'all serious?" Like, yeah, no, that was actually like a crazy thing. Like, people were like, "I don't like." They didn't like watch him play. Like, they didn't know who he was. I'm like, "Y'all wilding for this one."
Not too many people get to have a coach like that. Somebody who played for a long time and did it very well.
Yeah.
And he's now your coach.
Yeah.
Like, not many people can
say that. Like that.
I don't think it really happens, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know? So, I guess, what did you see from him besides he brought the pro mindset and, like, the pro atmosphere, the culture, like, to you guys, but, like, just him in general? Like, what has he meant to you from, I guess, a leadership perspective? Maybe coach, like friend, like what's his influence?
Nah, he meant a lot. He still means a lot. That's why I'm here now. We're having a little like pros weekend for guys coming back. And anytime, you know, Stack asks some of me, I'm going to try and do it because he's had a big impact. But biggest thing for me during that year was he held me accountable in a way that I haven't been held accountable before.
Okay. Like,
he made sure I was the best version of myself every single day. He had the system where like we graded defense. You remember that, John?
I definitely do.
So it was like, I don't remember if it was like a first game, but it was our first couple games and we had this defensive system. He had a way for the grading our defense, whatever. And let's say I was like a minus 12 in the day, which is not, you know, it wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I played like 32 minutes that day. We would come in the film the next day and he would always have this piece of paper he'd fold up. And he come and sit down. He put the thing up. He sit just like this. He sit just like this and be quiet for a second so everybody could find their name and look at their numbers. And I remember he was like, "Son, you playing 32 minutes and you were minus 12. I ain't gonna repeat the rest of what he said." he gave me an earful. And I remember from that, that's when I really picked up my defense from that moment before. I was like,
okay.
It matters.
Yeah.
So he held me accountable in ways that I just hadn't been held accountable before.
Facts. I like that. Let's get back into NBA, man. Who's hardest guy you've had to guard so far? Oh yeah. I'm trying to get messy. Hardest guy you've had to guard so far.
Last year, Paul George gave me the work.
Like, ooh, really?
I remember, so we played the Clippers second half of the season in Indiana. Mm-hmm. I don't think Paul George played when we played him in LA. Mm-hmm. My job last year was, you know, to guard one of the two best players on the team. So I did that every game all season. So I had the Paul George assignment. So I'm watching film before the game with my coach, and he was like, "Make him take these shots." Mm-hmm. You know, like you're not gonna stop him, but we're gonna contain him. Yeah. Like, try and make him take these shots. These tough twos. Yeah. So the game starts. I think I got him. I'm watching him. I'm like, I got his rhythm. He gets the ball like off the tip. He's on the top, the right wing.
Okay.
He catches the ball, does a little move, looks like he's trying to pass. And I was like, okay. I was like sitting to the game. I was like, okay, he's going to pass.
He's going to pass. He sat down. Okay.
I was like, all right, I'm good. Like, he's going to get off of it. That's how I get into the game. You know, I get to get the butterflies out. He's like, "Nah." Shoots it. I'm right there. Squatter. They didn't even touch the rim. I look back at my coach. My coach was like, he's like, it's good defense. He's like, it's cool. We go down. We come back again. I swear, man. same, like, bing, bing, pull up right there. Nothing but water.
Damn.
And I look back again, and I was like, he's like, just stick with it. Stick with it. Man, he gave me 45.
Oh.
I fouled out the game.
Damn.
It was a long day.
45?
Yeah. That's a long day at the office, right?
It was
there.
A long day, man.
What
long
coach day. Was like, ah, it's cool. It's cool. He'd be like, coach, you need to come out here. This shit said, ain't cool.
Help me, bro. God.
Oh, my God.
I guess, yeah. So how it, like, I don't know, from being like, I know fans' perspectives and people watching, like, they see these big names. And, like, I know to you guys being an athlete, it's like, all right, it's just another person. But, like, how is it when you, like, because you just said you're guarding, like, the Paul Georges, like, these big name guys that are, how is that mentally? How do you prepare for that?
I mean, it was real, really, like, my rookie year. The first time you get to, like, you know, strap them up and compete with those guys, mm-hmm. it's a great feeling to be like, I looked up to this guy, you know, my whole life. I've watched them, and now I get to share the court with them and compete at a high level.
Yeah.
So that was really, like, my rookie year. Past that, now it's all just like, you know, it's another guy, you know, playing ball. I'm trying to beat him. He's trying to beat me. You know what I mean? But still respect the work that he's put in and how great, you know, all these guys are.
No, that's right.
So going to your rookie year, kind of hinted that I was going to go here. I remember you telling me a few stories, but I want to get to particularly about the story about LeBron, that first time you played LeBron in L.A. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
This sound good.
Yeah. So my rookie year was around Christmas time, I think. I wasn't playing. So, like, my rookie year, I didn't play that much. And I was driving to the game. I hadn't played in like 3 or 4 games before that. It's been a while. I was just, you know, sitting down watching the games. And I'm driving to the game, talking to my dad. Lakers Celtics, they've been hyping this up all week, for real. We had practice on like a Monday. Like, this is the Lakers Celtics. Like, let's go. Like, we got to win this game. Yada, yada, yada. So game day comes. I'm driving to the game. I call my dad. My dad was like, hey, let's go, man. Like, let's have a good game today. You know, trying to, you know, give me a little pep talk. And I was like, man, it's Celtics Lakers. I haven't played all week. I'm not playing today.
Yeah.
For real. I was like, bro.
I know where this
I was
going.
Like, bro, I said, I'm not getting in.
Whenever you say that.
So the first quarter comes around. I don't get in. It's the end of the first quarter. I'm standing like in the back of the huddle. And I'm like watching. I'm watching Brad Stevens draw up a play. And I'm sitting there chilling. And he's like, Neesmith, get JT.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, for real? I was like, okay. So I take my shooting shirt off. I sit down. Once again, I have not played in like a week. Sit down. He's like, boom, boom, boom. This is the play. Play was I was going to run at JB, Jaylen Brown, and I was going to backdoor. So I get in. I go to the corner. I'm standing there waiting for the Lakers to come out. Lakers come out. LeBron runs straight to me.
Mm.
He does his little, you know, a little trot. So he does his little trot to me, and I was like, oh, boy. So he does his little trot to me. I'm sitting in the corner. Play starts. JB's coming at me. I go to run at him to fake the back door.
Yeah.
Man, LeBron is, like, at the block, and he's, like, back door. Back door straight into his chest. And he was like, bro, you have not played. Like, you're not getting the ball first thing you come into the game.
Talking to
you? Bro, yeah.
He said that to you?
So I go through to the other side. Play finishes. You go down again. Boom, whatever. I play like my 4 or 5 minutes. I come out the game. Then LeBron's talking to my teammate. He's talking to my teammate because he was guarding him. And he was like, it was a timeout. He's standing in front of our bench. Ball's on the other end of the floor. So he was like, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to have the ball right. I'm going to throw my hand up. I'm going to tell him to throw it to the hand. I'm going to put my right leg over yours. I'm going to fade away, and it's going to be a bucket.
What?
Right. About 30 seconds later, he had him right here. Throw it to the hand. Throw it to the hand. Boom. Bucket. Try to right back down. I said, oh, my God.
That's different.
Different.
Man, I'm kind of speechless. I ain't gonna lie to you, though. That's
like, you hear stories about it, but you're like, all right, how true is it really?
They say he'd be calling out plays, like he'll call out like your play, what y'all about to run, and he'll talk to you, like all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some of that is real, but some of that is also like just scout, like some of that is really just like basic scout.
Okay.
Yeah. Got you.
Dang. Give me a, man, let's stick to this, man. Give
yeah,
me a.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to go, give me your Mount Rushmore of just shooters.
Pure shooters.
Just pure shooters. That's it. Not of all time.
Yeah.
Just current NBA right now.
Oh, current NBA.
Yeah.
No, it's all time. It's all time. It's all time. It's all time.
Steph Curry. I got five, right?
Yeah.
Steph Curry, Ray Allen, J.J. Redick.
Ooh, yeah.
Kyle Korver, Reggie Miller.
Who's the last one?
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller, okay.
Yeah.
Is that an order?
Nah, we just listen. Yeah, we just listen to him.
Okay. Who we forgetting?
Did he said Steph.
I mean, he didn't say Ray. Clay.
He didn't say Clay. Didn't say
I think Clay definitely has an argument to be up there.
Why not Clay?
Sure.
I mean, I'm not trying to sit here and say Clay can't shoot. Clay is one of the greatest shooters ever. But right. You asked for my top five.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. You got to give me.
No,
I feel you there. Okay.
Did you say Ray Allen on my trip?
He said Ray.
Okay. He said Ray.
Anybody else?
Trying to think.
Said Steph, Ray, Kyle Korver, J.J. Redick.
Is there any shooters in the league that you've worked with that you're like, that they really helped me?
In the league? Nah.
No? Mm-hmm. Who would you say has helped you then?
Honestly, my old coach, you know him, Jake Diebler.
Yeah.
Like going into my sophomore year, we worked a lot on my footwork and stuff. So that was definitely real helpful for me as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, give me now. That's score. I mean, shooters. Now, give me like just pure score. Current NBA right now.
Current NBA like right now.
A walking bucket.
Walking bucket. JT.
Yeah.
Luka.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. That's two.
That's tough. Paul George.
Three. Okay.
You're talking straight bucket, not like my
straight
top.
Bucket. Straight bucket. I'm talking about a walking bucket.
Oh, yeah. JT, Luka, Paul George. Donovan Mitchell.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to go DeMar DeRozan.
Ooh, I'm about to get petty. Where KD?
I was about to say.
Hold on. I'm about to get petty. Where KD?
You're right. Like, KD got to be in there. KD do got to be in there.
That's a seven-footer.
Nah, you're right. KD got to be in there. That's
who else? Who else?
Who you got, John? Who's missing?
I mean, did you say Book?
He didn't say book.
So that's the thing. There was the big argument before, like your rookie year, going into your rookie year, was Booker Tatum. I think that was a big thing going on.
Also, Kuzma was in there because Kuzma was going crazy his rookie year.
Kuzma was going crazy?
Yeah, that was his rookie year, right?
True.
He was going crazy.
Yeah, he was.
Why do you feel like Tatum gets more respect than Book in the league? If you even feel like that's the case, I feel like that's the case.
I would just say, like, people don't realize how tall JT is. JT really 6'10", and he's got broad shoulders. So, mm-hmm. like, even if you're playing good defense and you can test,
mm-hmm.
it's easy for him to shoot over you. D-Book is, like, 6'6", 6'7".
Mm-hmm.
So there is more of a little contest there. It's just – and, I mean, both of them make the game look effortless.
Right.
But I think that's the big difference.
Biggest difference.
Yeah.
So – Boo asked me this yesterday. I'm going to ask you. Start, bench, cut. You got Book, you got Tatum, you got Luka Doncic.
That's tough.
I'm not answering that.
That's a start, bench, cut?
Yeah.
Start, bench, cut.
I'm going to start my man JT. I'm going to bench Luka, and then I'm going to have to cut D-Book.
Okay.
Dang.
Okay.
There's a
Somebody gotta go.
So many scores in the league that are like.
He didn't say Dame Dollar. I mess with Dame.
We
Dollar
haven't even
heavy.
Talked about. Like, bro, there's so you many know? Scores out there. That shit's crazy.
Mm.
You really got scores that aren't the big names. So like, let's go into that. What are some like? Did you see? And you've been in the league a few years now.
Spencer did. I was gonna say, Spencer Dinwiddie is a bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And he's not. He's not like the big name guy on his mm-hmm. team. But that dude, top of the scout.
Really?
Yeah, top of the scout. Him.
Yeah, give me five. Give me five, like, underrated guys.
Sneaky guys?
People don't, like, sneaky, sneaky guys that people don't know about just because they might not get either the attention or the ball. There's just not enough time for them to get the ball, basically.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Spencer, yeah, that boy Jordan tatted, Clarkson. Too.
What?
You
ain't
got
to do anything.
You don't get it. You know, you ain't got tattoos. You ain't get it. It's a community. You're not part of it. He not in that.
I'll say those two are the main ones that I can think of right now. You'd have to start naming some other guys.
Let me think.
I like, what's his name for Dallas? I know he got a strap, Hardaway Jr.
Yeah.
He can shoot.
Him.
Brunson, when he left, but
he
finally got his. Once he got to New York, he got his own. He made a name for himself, but in Dallas, he was kind of under, to me, I thought he was under Luka.
He definitely was.
Everybody on the team.
And Luka misses him now.
They messed that up.
I like Drew Holiday as a bucket.
Oh, bro. Right? Yo, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yo, Drew Holiday.
His name, but he's not.
Nah.
He's probably only one time All-Star.
Drew Holiday is tough. Mm. I think he's definitely one of the most underrated dudes in the league. Mm-hmm. Like when we played him my second year in Boston. We played the Bucks in the playoffs, and it was like game six, and he basically won game six for the Bucks in Boston. I remember he read the play, shut it down. Smart had the play on the baseline, and he literally palmed his shot, took it out the air while falling out of bounds, turned around, threw it off Smart, pretty much ball game.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, he's one of the best defenders by far in the league.
So get into that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Get into the finals run, man. Like, that was a crazy, like, was there, at what point were you like, we could really make the finals?
We beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris Middleton was hurt, so he didn't play.
Right.
So when we had the Bucks slated, I thought we were going to beat them, but I thought they were still the biggest hump to get to the finals was the Bucks.
Yeah.
No disrespect to the Heat, because they took us to game seven, so it was a tough series. But I just thought once we beat the Bucks, I was like, all right, we are really about to make it to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But that was definitely a cool experience, being able to play at the peak of professional basketball as a whole. You know, getting to be a part of the finals. You know, I got my points in there.
I didn't play,
but when I got that end of the miss, I made sure to get a little bucket quick.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel that. So what's your take on the whole world champions of what?
In recent news.
World champions of what?
Apparently.
The United States?
Yeah, but I don't know what he on. He's tripping.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, it's not just Americans playing.
There's literally the best players in the world.
Yeah.
If you're the best basketball player in the world, you play in the NBA. It's point blank, period.
Yeah.
I think Stephen A. said something like, it's like... six continents.
Yeah.
Like over like 40 some countries.
Yeah. But you know how many, it was
the
like
best player in the league.
A third of the NBA is international.
Yeah.
You know? So.
I mean, I understand it's in the U.S., but my man, it ain't just U.S. players.
Right.
Yeah. I think he was.
I know where he's coming from.
He went. He won the 100, 200, and then 4x4.
Well, he's a dog.
He's getting after it, but we'll give him a pass.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
he just don't know.
Yeah.
He just don't know. He think you got to play against other countries to be the best in the world, but that's not the case here.
Yeah, I get it. He probably just trying to get more eyes to track, but it's just that's not how
it worked.
It worked, but it was talking about it right here. It's still not going to surpass
any publicity. Is good publicity.
That's true.
Yeah, so
give me a game that you can get back. A game that you know, like, if I can get that game back, please let me get outside, like right now. I'll take it.
NBA or like NBA?
College, both.
All right. There was one game in college I definitely want back, and that's we played Tennessee. Mm. They were number one in the country for the second time in school history. And we were the first game that they played since they were number one. And we were cutting them up all day. Like we was whooping them. And we had talent. Like we had four NBA guys on our team. Mistake me if I'm wrong, right?
No, you did. You, Sabe, Matt Ryan.
It's three at a time.
Yeah.
So we had three NBA guys on our team at a time. So we were talented, but we just couldn't finish games. So we were beating them the whole time. And fourth quarter comes along. This is how we lost every single game my freshman year. Mm. and they started coming back. You know, they were older. You know, they started just, you know, taking the game slowly, wearing us down. And it was about like 2 minutes left. Grant Williams, my teammate in Boston for 2 years.
Yeah.
So he reminds me about this game a lot. He got a technical foul with Cleavon Brown.
Which it was not.
It was not a technical foul. They put in this new rule, I think, because Kevin Love hurt his shoulder in the playoffs about like hooking on rebounds. So Grant is the type of person to read the rule book. Like, he'll read the rule book from front to back.
I heard he's
and he'll, yeah, you know, mm-hmm, he'll cheat the system a little bit. So he knew the rule. He put his hand in there, got the technical foul, got the ball back, two free throws, turned it, changed the whole game. And we were up by two with like 40 seconds left. I know you remember this. Mm-hmm. We had a play we went over like 10 times in shoot around. It was a lob play. Out of bounds. His name was Jordan Bowden. Mm-hmm. He came on the right wing, set it up. I mean, four guys on the floor all said, "Watch the lob, watch the lob." My teammate literally looked at him, watched him run across the arc, came down, threw the lob straight out of bounds, cocked it back, dunked it so hard it rolled all the way to the other side of the floor. And I mean, the crowd was.
This is at Vandy. Okay, I remember that game.
This is like the only sold out game I ever played. Only sold out game I ever played at Vandy.
Bone threw the.
Yeah,
I think it was Bone. Yeah.
It like dropped on the floor and just rolled.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you could hear like a pin drop before the play
that was
started.
An icebreaker, yeah.
And I mean, like, bro, that crowd went crazy.
Tennessee had the crowd after that.
Like, I'll never forget. I could. I still hear
that. Pissed off after that game. I saw the.
There's a reason why I was mad, because that was really that was like the first game my freshman year where I really like I took a jump.
You did, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I really hooped that game, and I had a game saving block.
Yeah.
So
to force overtime.
Mm-hmm. Like, we were, the game was tied with like 10 seconds left. My teammate turned it over. I saw the turnover happen. I took off, chased down, saved the block, hurt my knee, and. My teammate got the ball off the block and turned it over immediately. And I remember I laid down on the court like, oh, my God,
that's
bro.
That's tough.
And we went to overtime and we lost.
Yeah,
so that's tough. That's a game I wish I could have back. A lot of mistakes were made.
So I know how I would be talking to you about that if I was Grant Williams. Like, when Grant brings it up, what is he saying?
He admitted. He was like, yeah. Yeah, bro. He admitted. Yeah, he flopped.
Because that was probably the – most impressive game I saw at Vanderbilt, because he had 44
he was
that
hooping.
Game.
They gave him the Michael Jordan
free throw.
22 free throws. 23.
I'm like, it was 23 for 23.
Yeah.
And he was like shooting 72% coming in.
Like, he locked in. I was like, yo.
He wasn't playing.
Nah, he was hooping that game.
He was SEC Player of the Year that year?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, no, he was killing hooping.
I'll give you your NBA one. Again, you can get back in NBA.
I don't know if I really have one yet.
Okay.
Because I've played, you know, I made the playoffs 2 out of my 3 years, but personally, I didn't contribute to that enough.
I got you.
On my own, for myself to be like, yeah, I want that one back.
Yeah.
And like, I really earned that, you know. Like, you, like, winning the finals, for example, wanted to win, you know, hands down. But like, if we won the finals and I got the ring, I made like a promise to myself, I was gonna lock it away. I wasn't even gonna open it. Like, as soon as they handed it to me, I was gonna keep it closed and lock it away and put it somewhere and never look at it till I actually, like, you know, won one where I was like, you know, playing and contributing to the win. And my that was just for me.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Cause you've said things like that like a few times now. Like, where does that internal, like, I'm a hold myself accountable to a higher standard because I know what I'm capable of come from?
I don't know, man. It's really, I guess I say it's my dad. My dad held me to a high standard. And I just, it's kind of just something that stuck with me forever. Like, just making sure I'm the best version of myself. Like, I heard this quote here with Stack, and it's been my favorite quote ever since. It was like, be 1% better today than you were yesterday, and in 100 days, you'll be 100% better. And so I just lived my life by that. And like, if I could look back in time and I saw myself a year ago and I liked what I saw, that means I didn't get better. I mean, so that's kind of just how I live my life. Like a year from now, I want to be able to look back and say, I don't like what I looked like a year ago.
Yeah.
Because that means I improved.
Yeah, bad.
What's a big misconception about the NBA that you wish people who didn't play knew?
That the bench players are trash?
Yeah,
bro, they be like, oh, he's terrible. He's something like, but you will not see
him.
And
that goes for any sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, true.
Baseball, football, soccer, bro, everybody's not. If you make it to the pinnacle of your sport, you are nice.
Yeah. I tell people that too. Facts. I'm like, bro, it was like, was this guy good? I'm like, bro, he played at this school or he's at like, this bro, level.
He was
like,
the
he's
best
good.
Player on his team for his entire life.
Facts. Yeah.
Nice.
That is, and like, if you ever messed up with him, bro, it's quiet.
Yeah.
It's quiet. He's cooking you.
A good example is Pat Bev. Like, people like say, oh, he's not good,
that
but like,
he can't hoop.
Putting up 44 points in high school. Like, he averaged like 30, whatever he averaged in high school.
He was
like
a dog.
It's like, dude, don't think because they got these roles now that
just
they not like that.
Yeah, just being a star on your role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
No. I guess what's more for you personally, what, if you've done it already or not, what is a better feeling? Either dunking on somebody, blocking somebody's shot, or I guess like a step back three, like with somebody all over you.
I used to say blocking a shot.
Uh-huh.
I used to say that for the longest time, up until last year.
Tell them why. Hey.
Why do you say that?
So when I dunked on on Jared Allen. Mm. Yeah, that feeling was crazy.
I remember
that. I didn't even know what to do.
That was crazy. That was actually crazy.
Set that moment
right up. Through that play.
Yeah. I didn't even see that play.
Yeah, my teammate Buddy Hill, but gets up a lot of threes. He can shoot. So he was getting in his rhythm package of like he's about to put it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I was getting ready to crash. So he does his thing. He goes to a shooting motion and the dude's there. So he's in the air and he has to get rid of it and he just throws it to me. So I'm like halfway leaning forward. So I catch it off balance a little bit, come back, give a quick jab, go left, and Jared Allen's on the other block. So before the game, one of our interns, he came up, I was working on floaters before the game. And he came up to me, he was like, Jared Allen coming across the lane, you gonna dunk on him? I said, nah, straight floater. Swear, literally said straight floater. Game come, fourth quarter, 3 minutes left. I see Jared Allen across the lane, and I was like, if I don't dunk it, it's getting sent to the third row. So it's real. I was really out of necessity. I was like, I have to dunk this, or it's getting sent.
Yeah.
So that's really it. Yeah, and it just boom.
Just so casual, but
flush.
So yeah, that was that was nuts. That crowd in there was going crazy. Is it usually packed for at Indiana games? Because
so they said the crowd the year before I got there was not too good.
Yeah,
but still this COVID year, though. Restrictions.
Yeah, this year they said it was really good though. It was pretty full all year.
What's the biggest crowd you've played in front of NBA wise?
I'll tell you what, man. TD Garden is loud.
Really?
Yeah. Like since I played there for 2 years, I didn't realize it because I was home court.
Yeah.
But coming back there this last year when we played it for the first time,
uh-huh.
bro, that place is loud. It was the lights were bright, I will say. Uh-huh. The lights were bright.
Yeah. Boston fans are different, though.
They are different.
Like, just that whole – Boston in itself is different.
Yeah. Man, I got some story, but we ain't going to go
there. Boston different. So you got to Boston maybe a year or two after – like, tell us what you can after Kyrie. Like, what was, like, the – if you heard anything, like the good stuff, like, about Kyrie?
Kyrie, everything I heard about Kyrie from there was like, he's one of the most talented guys ever. Like, if he touches the basketball, anything he does with the basketball is like amazing. And I mean, like, playing against him, I don't see it playing against him because I'm focused on the game. But then I'll go back and like, I'll watch either my game or I'll see Kyrie highlights and I'm like, damn. Like, how did he do that?
Yeah.
Like, so the stuff he does with the basketball really is, like, unbelievable.
Yeah.
He makes it look so easy. So easy.
Like, he truly has the ball on the string.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he could do it.
EG does think too, though.
Yeah, EG. I think I heard something where he said, like, they were saying, like, he plays defense on offense. Like, he literally, like, whatever you do, he's just going to let you make the move.
Yeah,
he's,
like,
he's got something for
you. Yeah, like, he's
going
to wait for you to mess up. Like, he's just going to dribble and, like, you take a step this way, then he's got a package for that.
Like, how
something
crazy
like,
is that?
Yeah, it's like, ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, DG's. Yeah, his DG's change of pace has got to be like top three.
It's top tier.
So this is when I knew DG was like nice.
Yeah.
So when my freshman year, we came in the summer, like the first couple weeks, we're playing 5-on-5 open gym. DG comes down, transition towards me, hits me with a simple like between cross, like nothing crazy.
Yeah.
But the pace at which he did it at. Bro, he did it at the 3-point line. I ended up on the block, and like, like it was one of those, you know, like y'all don't really hoop like that though, do y'all?
Nah.
So like, it was one of those like you get crossed or whatever, you stop and like you gotta like look back and you can't recover to contest.
Yeah,
it was one of those, and I was like, oh. Yeah, he's nice.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like, he's nice.
You got me.
That's awesome, man.
I had something else for you, man. From a what I guess not one that you want back, but maybe a game that you game or series, whatever it may be, that you want to, you know, just relive it because it was so good. Like the energy from the crowd, the lead up, the locker room, the pregame, like everything was just so good. Like, give me that series or give me that game again so I can experience those emotions again. Mm.
Definitely the Cavs game, because I also had a good overall game that entire game. I had like 3 baskets down the stretch to win the game for us. It was a game against Orlando this year. I had like 2 threes in crunch time, got an offensive rebound to win the game, hit 2 free throws to win the game. Those 2 games were definitely really fun this year.
So it seems like for you more, it's like for example, I'll give like one of mine that I want to relive again is definitely Omaha, and we played Louisville, and the guy was mowing us down pretty much for like 6.
I watched that game.
6-7 innings, like he was mowing us down, and he was hella cocky.
Yeah.
He talking shit.
He was in his bag that game.
He was like rightfully so, you know.
I know. I remember exactly where I was watching that game because he was going crazy.
He was going crazy, and he off balance, like he was doing his thing. But it was like it was that turning point when he struck out our guy Julian, and he told him, go sit the fuck down. We're like, oh, hold on, dog.
Yeah.
You know?
It was over.
And like the locker room, the bleachers clear, everybody in front of the dugout. And we just like talking. Kumar told you, bitch.
That was something I wanted to, like, what is the, for better terms, the shit talking like in the NBA? Because it's like for baseball, it's very minimal and it's tough to really
It's non-existent really until moments like that.
Moments like that is when it gets real hype or like some it's tense. Yeah, maybe you might say something.
Yeah, I guess you don't really make too much like
you're never really like right in front of somebody the way you guys are. Like it is.
I mean, I don't really talk trash unless someone talks to me first. I'm not gonna start it. But one dude who's a sneaky trash talker is Klay Thompson.
Really?
Yeah, bro.
They be saying that a little bit. Yeah. They be saying that. And I saw the thing with him and Dame. He was throwing the 4 rings up, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, he'll talk some shit.
Is it like just like directly at you, or they just like how is it like the?
I mean, for most part, I mean, some guys do it mainly to get themselves going.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, that's a big part of it. So like me personally, I get going by talking to myself rather than talking to somebody else.
Okay.
But some dudes, they just need the back and forth to get themselves real amped up for the game.
Now, honestly, I think that's just pure, I look at it as just pure competition when it comes to that.
It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It does make it fun because if you can relate it back to just a pickup game, 5-on-5, you know, it's like, if it's quiet, it's boring. It's boring. It's like, what are we doing?
Because even like for baseball, it's like when you get in those moments and you start talking, like it's like, dang, now the game, like that
go.
Louisville game changed.
Yeah,
it was like, okay, now we got something to go.
Yes. But now we're
for
going. Sure.
And I guess for you, like moving into this year, like what are your, I don't know if you've made any goals yet or like what is your, What are you looking to do this year? Because this is what, year four?
Year four.
Ooh, second year with the Pacers. So, like, what you looking to get into this year? How you going to attack the season?
I'm trying to make the playoffs. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for us, that's, like, sole goal. And yeah. I'm a big believer, like, everything comes with winning. So, like, any individual accolades, any guys on my team want or trying to get, all that comes with success. So, like, if we win as a team and we make the playoffs, everybody's going to get their flowers.
Yeah.
So, that's my only goal.
Tyrese Haliburton, I know he went through the whole thing. He went off this year. Like, what's he like? What's the misconception on him?
He's in his shorts, actually. Shout out, Tyrese. Mm.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Shout him out. He's a great guy. He's a real joy to play with. I say, like, what makes him real special is obviously he's a really good basketball player, but he plays with such joy every time he's on the floor. Like, it brings everybody's energy level up. So I would say that's one underrated thing about him that people don't get to see that. You know?
Yeah. Two things before we get out of here, man. First one, give us your favorite, best, funniest, you know, locker room, hotel, bus ride, plane, story.
Yeah, y'all got some good ones.
You know, give me one of those places.
Funniest. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that question.
Yeah. I know it get rowdy in the locker room. Yeah. It get rowdy in the locker room, the bus rides be going crazy.
Plane rides.
Hotel probably different.
I gotta think of I can think of one.
Yeah, go ahead, that
bro,
one.
All right. That's what so I'm this was about. I think this was my rookie year. Yeah, this was my rookie year. So Grant Williams is my guy, great guy. So he just got a new chain with his logo on it.
Yeah.
And it looked like the Warner Brothers logo a little bit. And Marcus Smart walks into the locker room, sees his chain. Grant's like, you know, not like parading this chain around, but he's like, look at this new chain I got. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, guys are asking him about it, right? Mm. So then Marcus walks in, and, you know, Marcus has a bunch of chains.
Yeah.
So he walks in, and he sees Grant's chain, and he starts going in. Like, he's like, what is this chain? Yeah, this chain ain't this chain worth like $2. He said, right. He was berating his chain. And then the part that sent me was, dude took his chain. He said, man, this is cheap. He said, I could bite through this motherfucker. And he bit it. And I was, bro, rolling.
The disrespect.
Bit the man's chain. Bro, he bit the man's chain.
Mark is a dog on and off the
bro.
Yeah, he different.
He different than that, man. Bro, that shit had me weak. Nah, but I can't really think of too much.
Nah, that's cool. That's a good one, man. That's good.
If you had any question that we should ask the next guest, what would it be?
That was good, Harry.
That's a good question. Damn.
Don't do that. I got it. Go ahead. he taking credit for this question.
What are you doing? Let the man think about a question.
Go ahead, bro.
See, you're always trying to do so much.
You're going to be biting.
Pause.
It's not a pause.
I don't think that's a pause.
That's not a pause. You're reaching. Okay, and we keeping that one in.
I could have reached.
Go ahead.
Now that was
a pause.
Yeah. What I said?
You said we keeping that one in.
Y'all both reaching right now.
Well, that was a little bit of a pause.
All right, same. All right.
Y'all asked some good questions today, though. Yeah. There is definitely one, though.
You make up your own question that you want to ask.
I mean, you didn't ask the welcome to the league moment. Didn't ask.
When you asked, we said welcome to college.
SEC, college.
Yeah, we said college.
Welcome to the league.
Why you on it? What's your welcome to the league? Why you on it?
Might as well. We got some time.
I mean, y'all didn't ask me that question. Yeah. I mean,
you might as well. Go ahead and tell the people.
We're asking this person that too, but you go ahead. Nah. That's your question. Welcome to the league.
This was our, I think it was preseason. Yeah, preseason rookie year. We were playing the Nets, literally first game. I get in. Jeff Green is on the Nets. Mm-hmm. It's a help side situation. I'm on the opposite block. Jeff Green's on the corner. And he doesn't shoot the three. He gets run off the line. So he comes to the rim. And I was like, oh, okay. It's my chance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go ahead and meet him at the rim, make a name for myself. Oof. Off the rip. You know?
I love it.
I like
get
that.
Get a good block, confidence. Right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that sounded good. It did. So I jump, he jump, I stop going up. He keep going up.
And this can't end well.
That did not end well. I remember like halfway through that, I was like, oh.
Damn.
And I think he did it with two hands, but it was simple dunk. But I remember that was like my first like minute into the game.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And I remember I took the ball out so quick, like,
yeah.
I was like, bro, we I said, yo, we getting past this. Like, and we are not talking about this later. This is not a thing.
Nah.
But yeah, I was definitely my welcome to the league moment. Quick.
Yeah.
Nah, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. John.
You got anything?
Nah, I mean, the only thing I would think we could have touched on is, have you spent any time with Jack Harlow? You New Balance, New Balance athlete.
That band is a New Balance
have
athlete.
Have you spent any time with Mr. Harlow, man?
Yeah, I met him. Twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
He cool dude.
Solid guy. Yeah. Solid guy.
Like that.
That's awesome.
Shout out New Balance for him.
Shout out New Balance.
Well, that's it, brother. Man.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you guys having me, man.
Yeah, this was good. This was dope, man.
Appreciate you, my guy.
Good luck this season, man.
Yeah, hey, go check them out.
Aaron Neesmith, man. What's your IG?
Aaron_Neesmith.
Simple. Yeah.
Indiana Pacers. Come on, watch out.
All right. And we out. That's it. Peace.
Hey. Boom. Like, share, subscribe. You forgot.
They gonna do that. Y'all gonna do that. There it is. Bet.
We out of here.
Dunzo.
Good work, fellas.